Thanks for joining us. We love getting to share the message of God's grace with the entire world. If His message has impacted your life, would you share your testimony with us by emailing it to stories@graceorlando.com? We love to hear what God is up to. You can also give in support of this ministry by going to our website and clicking on the Give button at graceorlando.com. Thanks again. Well, good morning. How you guys doing? Well, that was okay. Listen, hey, welcome to One Air Conditioning is Down Sunday. It's actually not too bad, right? Why have we been running two air conditionings this whole time? Let's save some money, huh? No? All right. Anyway, welcome. I'm glad it's not too bad. And this morning is going to be awesome. We have got Rick Manis with us, who is going to bring the word. If you don't know who Rick is, Rick and his wife Judy travel the whole country sharing this message with everyone they can meet. They've written books, and you guys know they've spoken here before, and I'm super excited to have Rick with us this morning. Would you guys help me welcome him? Come on up, Rick.
With the simplicity and the goodness of God. Are y'all ready? Okay, so what I've called this is GMO versus organic Christianity. And I don't know, that's a scary title, or sound, I don't know if it sounds boring or exciting or what, but it's the best I could come up with on that. Let me get my commercial real quick out of the way. We've got all our stuff back there. We've got our little table with all of our books. I think we have back there. We have our games, our children's books. A couple of new things. This is brand new. It's a booklet, 38 pages, I think. It's called Daddy Doesn't Want Me. And I wrote this, I think, of Father's Day that's coming up. I've actually told this story a number of times in churches. But, you know, on Father's Day, everybody's honoring these fathers, and there's so many good fathers that will be in the house, and we'll honor them, and very rightfully so. And my father was actually a very good man, but we didn't do so good when I was growing up. He went from my hero to my enemy to my friend and my dad later on. It's a good story of redemption, but it's my story. And so I just thought I wanted to tell it, because there's more of those stories out there than people might think. And the back of it says, though the scripture is Psalms 27:10, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. And this was sort of my life as I came to the Lord at the age of 21. We were created to be loved, and it's the only thing that truly fulfills us. Many of us didn't get it from the sources that we wanted it most. It often results in a fear of rejection, self-destructive behavior, insecurity, cynicism, a hidden bitterness that we don't understand. This is a story of hope for the one who never seems to be good enough, even if they pretend that they are. It is my story. I hope you will read it and give it to a friend. So that's something, if that would help some of you to relate, or you know somebody that would, this is something. So I wanted that out before Father's Day. And very quickly, my wife Judy, this is her latest book called The Fresh Fruit of the Spirit. She takes the nine fruit of the Spirit and talks about them. What I love about it is that she shows very clearly how the fruit of the Spirit are not anything that we manufacture. It grows. It's natural, and it happens. That actually has to do with what we're talking about this morning. So I want to look at John chapter 15 first, and when we're talking about organic or inorganic, GMO means genetically modified organism, and what that means is that you take something that's foreign, and you know, genetically modified, they're actually taking the genes or part of a DNA molecule, and they're putting into another organism to alter that organism, and we do that a lot. These days, we do it to improve things. We do it so that we can produce much more food, better tasting food. We can produce bigger, fatter animals. They grow quicker. They taste better. I mean, it's amazing how smart we are as humans and what we've come up with. And what we do is we take things. For instance, like you know, corn. What we'll do with a lot of the genetically modified corn is that we'll actually take the gene of a bacteria. not the bacteria itself, just a part of the DNA molecule. How do we do this? And insert it into the corn. So we're actually crossing kingdoms here. We're taking that from the animal and putting it into the plant, and we're producing, you know, much more abundant corn. And many say tastes better, and it's and they can make it to where it resists disease, and they make it to where it can resist pesticides. I mean, it's amazing what scientists can come up with. And this is all done to really to make things better. It's not done to do something evil. It's done to make something better. We'll do it in cattle, and you know, we'll take them to the feedlots, and man, these cattle, they'll grow fast and they get big and fat real fast, and we can just produce. And some people say if we didn't have GMOs, we wouldn't be able to feed, you know, all the people in the world. That may or may not be true. It seems like some of us were getting, you know, it makes a lot of us just eat more because there's more food, so we eat it. But all those things are done. Glowfish, you know, you've seen the glowfish and the pet stores, and I always thought they were so cool. I saw those. I thought, I never saw those growing up. Where do they find these things? Well, they're GMO. They create them. They'll take the DNA of in some colors, it'll be a jellyfish, and they'll make these glowing fish. In others, it's coral. Now, that's, I don't know if that's crossing. They say coral's an animal now. If it is, it's barely an animal. But they take it, and they insert it. And so it's not, crossbreeding is one thing, but this actually will cross kingdoms. And genetically modified Christianity is something when we've taken something from another kingdom, and we modify that which is the kingdom of God. And in John chapter 15. Verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine. Now, what he's saying here right off the bat, he's saying, I am an unaltered vine. There is nothing that has been inserted into me to alter me one bit. I'm the original. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, he created everything. He was in the beginning. He's the same as he was in the beginning, always will be, always forever. He's forever unaltered. And in fact, if we back up to chapter 14, verse 30 there at the end, he says that I will no longer be speaking with you because the prince of this world comes and he has nothing in me. So the prince of this world did nothing in all the temptations, in all the trials, and all the trappings, and all the things that they did with Jesus, and all the mingling with sinners, and walking in this world, and being tempted in every area, and dealing with every bit of humanity like we did. Something about Jesus was nothing of this world was inserted into who he was. He stayed true to who and what he was. As he was in the beginning, as the creator, he always was that same way. He wasn't altered by the world. In fact, we know that he altered the world, didn't he? And so now, let me tell you what we're talking about when we're talking about genetically modified. Let me give you some ideas and examples of this. To genetically modify something, it's done from the motivation of trying to improve it. And in Christianity, what we see a lot of times is we're trying to improve our Christianity. We're trying to make it better. And the reason we're trying to make it better simply, really, is because we don't know that we have the fullness of everything that there ever could be right now. We feel like we're lacking. We feel like we're still needy. We still feel like we're not complete in Him. So we'll do something to our Christianity to try to make ourselves become complete in Him. So that's really where works comes from, right? We think, well, if we do more works, then we'll be more like Him. We start adding things. We don't seem to walk in fullness. We don't seem like we're complete. So we'll add some things. We'll take some things from the kingdom of the world, and we'll enhance our Christianity. We'll make it better than what it is right now. So we'll do things like, you know, we'll get into spiritual warfare, inner healing. Why are we missing so many things? What do I need? We start asking those questions. What do I need to do? What do I need to add in here? What else besides Jesus Do I need to really be blessed, to really be happy, to be healed? What else do I need? Because we come from a mindset that's a deception that says we are not complete in Him when the Bible says we are. That we do not have the fullness in Christ like when the Bible says we are. That we don't have every blessing in Christ Jesus. That we don't have everything that pertains to life and godliness in Him. It's like a blind man with a table that's full of a feast and they're still begging for food and saying, what do I have to do to get food? And so we add things simply out of ignorance, out of the simplicity of Jesus. You know, Galatians says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the simplicity, purity, organic that's in Christ Jesus. And that word simplicity, look it up, it's interesting. The word really is, when you look it up in the Greek, it means the generosity or the abundance that's in Christ. But we've been accustomed to eating all this genetically modified Christianity, and we just keep adding things, and it never ends. We get into where, you know, we'll get into curse breaking or something, you know? You laugh at that, and I run into this stuff out there. And they're sold on it. They've heard all the testimonies, how somebody said that I was, you know, I never understood, you know, why, but my... what my problem was. I never understood why I suffered all these emotional things. And then I realized that my great-great-great-grandpa was on the Mayflower, and he fell off the boat. He had this separation from there. So I've had separation anxiety, and now I understand why. So I had to break that curse. And all this stuff goes on, and it sounds ridiculous. But people can get so into it because they're trying to modify. They're trying to enhance this Christianity that they have. And I'm telling you, it's simply out of not knowing the goodness. And Jesus says, I'm the true vine. And there in chapter 15, he says, look how he says this. He emphasizes something here. And he says, I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. I'm the real deal here. There's no organism put into me. I am as pure can get. I'm the vine. And he says in verse 3, now you're already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. So right there, that takes away all the genetically modified ideas, all the genetic modifications of now I'm going to try to get clean. I'm going to try to ascend to the holy hill, but I must first have clean hands and a pure heart. So we must clean our hands, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to come to the altar, and we're going to cry, and we're going to get all clean because, you know, we don't feel like we're clean because we see how we are imperfect according to man's definition, not God's. Huh? And if you ever have any of that idea, please learn to throw that away. There is no such thing as perfection as far as how man defines perfection, which is an absence of flaws. That is a myth. It's a fable. It never was in the mind of God. In fact, God created everything that is very flawed. There's no perfect geometrical shaped mountains or trees or rivers or anything. He made everything, made the rivers crooked, the mountains jagged, the trees are gnarly, But it's beautiful and perfect because it's all held together by His love. There is a perfection, but it's not this made-up man perfection, man-made perfection. It's God's perfection, and the only perfection is God's love in the midst of flaws. That's what makes you and I beautiful and complete and perfect. We are loved. So we need no modifications to improve who we are or really our condition. He says, you're already clean. What does that? The vine has done that, right? Nothing you do is ever going to make you clean. Only the vine has made us clean. We know that. Verse 4, he says, abide in me. And I in you, because as the branch can't bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in the vine. So the branch doesn't have to do anything. The branch doesn't have to fix itself or modify itself. All it's got to do is abide in the vine, right? Because all the stuff comes from the vine, the trunk of that tree, right? And what he's talking about here, watch this, we're building something here. He's talking about organic, which is relational. And this is where people miss it a lot because they're missing the relation and they're using their mechanic their Christianity or looking at it and as if it's a mechanical operation. or a transactional operation, right? If I do this, God will do that. I get people approaching me all the time. How do I do this? How do I get this to manifest in my life? How do I get my healing? How do I get myself to understand this? And my answer is, it just gets simpler and simpler. It's like, we don't. We don't. We abide in the vine. What we really need to know is that we're already in that life, and the life is taking care of itself. It's doing its work. Are y'all here? My Bible says that it's God working in you. How do I do this? People say, how do I work this thing? We don't. Or here's a word. How do I activate it? It's the same thing, but it sounds better, right? I know I don't work for Rick, but how do I activate it? That's what it is. And we don't. My Bible says it's God activating you. Wow. So the life is already flowing from the vine. It's doing its thing. Now, everything is about faith, so what we do now is what the Bible says, that we acknowledge Him. We're not acknowledging the branch. We're not acknowledging us. And what Jesus is doing here, He's taking it all off. He says, you can't bear fruit unless you abide in me. Look at verse 5. He says, now I'm the vine. You're the branches. Watch this. He'll keep repeating Himself. Remember, I'm the vine. You're the branches. I'm the vine. You're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, because what's in the branch is going, or excuse me, the vine is going to the branch. He says, he bears fruit. So you don't have to do anything. The vine provides it. The vine provides the fruition. Now what happens is all the questions come to the mind and they're like, well then how come I'm this and how come I'm that? How come I'm the other? Well, a lot of it is because of the GMO, is because we're looking through the eyes of a fallen world that looks at lack instead of fullness. This whole world system is based on lack and never having enough, and that's why a GMO Christianity never, ever, no matter what you do, never has enough. That's why you have to go through every one of these fads of Christianity, and you'll do it, you'll be sold on it for a while, and you think, now this is it, I finally found the key, and then it runs its course, and then you got to find something else. Because it's always in a state of trying to improve or complete itself. And so the reason people feel like, well, if I'm already complete, then why do I not see things the way that I want them to be seen in my life? Well, that's why we talk so much about rest. It's hard to ever see that when we don't rest. But there's something about truth. There's something about the Spirit. There's something about the kingdom of God that if you rest and acknowledge Him and turn and look at the truth and look at the Spirit, you can see it. You can be aware of it. You become aware that I've got everything I've been looking for. I'm not trying to get there. I'm not trying to break through. That's another one. I used to preach it all the time. Come on, church, we need a breakthrough. Let's get a breakthrough. Well, how do we get a breakthrough, Pastor? Pray loud. We've been praying loud. I mean louder. We can't get any louder. Then, if you want a breakthrough, it says right here, pray longer. We're praying long. Well, it says right here, pray more. Here's a verse, 7 times a day. No wonder we didn't get our breakthrough. Always adding, trying to find another molecule to put into this thing that's going to improve it or perfect it. I'm so glad I ran across where Jesus said in John 10 about, I'm the door. Thieves break through and steal. Huh? But why did I feel like I needed a breakthrough? Because I felt like I was on the outside. I didn't know the truth. I didn't know I was inside. Why did the chicken cross the road? Because he thought he was on the other side. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me bears fruit. Very briefly, to illustrate, nobody has tried more foreign genetic material in their Christianity than me. I was always, from the day I first met Jesus, was so hungry to be more like Him, to be pleasing with Him, so I was trying everything. Whoever taught what, that's it, I'm grabbing it. Because I was hungry, I was thirsty, I felt like I needed more. And so I wanted to be fruitful. And it didn't seem like I ever saw enough fruit. And then, you know, my story is, it's in my book, Fullness. Finally, I just ran out of me. And I said, God, it's not working. After decades of genetically modified Christianity, of adding everything and trying everything to improve this and make it work and make it better, I finally laid on the floor right there and just said, Father, I quit. I don't have anything else to try. And it was like I heard the Spirit say so sweetly, good, are you done now? And I laid right there and I began to become aware that everything that I had been trying to get, I already had it the whole time. I was trying to get into the kingdom, trying to get home. He says, you're already home, Dorothy. You already have my heart, Tin Man. You already have the mind of Christ, Scarecrow. You've already got it. The word says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I was just ignorant. I didn't know the truth. Honestly, and I'm not mad at anybody, and I was as bad as anybody else, but honestly, I wasn't taught it. From day one, I was taught more things. I was taught pet doctrines and improvements. He who abides in me bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me, there it is again. Abide, 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 abide. If you dwell in me, live in me. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Why does he keep saying this? All right, we got it the first time, Jesus. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, he says, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done for you. Now here it was in the mindset. See, in that the kingdom of the world mindset, the lack mindset, the way I used to take this was that, okay, I have all these needs and desires. So what he's telling me is he's giving me some kind of a formula here. And so it became some kind of a faith formula for me to get the things that I want. You ask what you will. Now I'm trying, how does this work? Now what do I do so that this works for me? What's the combination? How do I drop that quarter in so it falls in there and it brings out what I want? Ask what I will and I'll get it. And I was asking for things and it didn't seem like I was getting them. And so I'm like, okay, so the problem is, it's not what he said. Now I got to figure out how to activate it, how to work it. How do I get this thing to work? And he doesn't tell us anything like that. He just says, if you abide in me. And you know what he's talking about here? Organic. He's talking about relationship. We're talking about resting in love and being loved by and knowing and getting to know a person who created us and loves us. This is what he's talking about. The branch and the trunk, he's talking about a relationship here. He says, come on, we're together. And we're one. You're one in me now. And everything about you comes from me. And everything you're going to know about God and the Father and the kingdom, you're going to know it by knowing me. So come. That's why he says, if you're hungry, you labor, you're weary, you're tired, burdened, come to me. I'll give you rest. Come and learn of me. Get to know me. I'm meek. I'm humble. I'm not scary. I'm not hard. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Get to know me. You understand Jesus didn't come to get rid of your imperfections, right? Nor did he come to deal with... He came to deal with sin, obviously. But what he's doing, he's not trying to get rid of the sin out of your life. Get rid of the sin in your life. His whole purpose for doing this was he was in love. He wanted to be with us. He wanted to be with you. And if it was about perfection, he could never do that. It was always about love from the very beginning. I know what it's like to want to be with someone. When I first met Judy, I said, I just want to be with you. So what did I do? I mean, I worked everything that I had to work so that could happen. I had to move from a long distance. I was just hustling and doing all kinds of things because I just wanted to be with her. Told her all kinds of lies so she'd like me. No, I didn't do that. No. I just wanted to be with her. And I did all the work. for the sole purpose. I didn't come to make her better. I didn't come to perfect her. I didn't come to get rid of her flaws. I was in love and wanted to be with somebody. That's what this is. It's organic. It's relational. Isn't it wonderful? So the reason he says, if you abide in me, in other words, if we have this relational thing, if we have this oneness, this unity going on, the branch and the trunk together, he says, you'll ask what you will, and it'll be done. Why? Okay, tell me, do you know anybody in your life? Maybe they're right here next to you. Is there anyone in your life that whatever they ask you, if you can do it, you would do it? Now, why would you do that? Because they've found the secret to activating somehow? Why would you do that? Because they've come to a place of perfection to where they finally deserve. Why would you do this? Because you like them. Because you love them. That's what he's talking about in abiding. It's relational. See, there is no formula. And you ought to be glad, because since there's not a formula, you can't mess it up. You can't mess up the formula. He says in verse 9, now the question is, okay, abide, abide, abide. Define that for me. Let's let Jesus define it in verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. That's the definition. What's it about? It's relational. It's organic. It's none of these other things. There's no secret revelation that has not, that you're going to find that's finally going to unlock the key. I went through a Christian magazine not too long ago. I was at somebody's home, and they had this Christian magazine, and I used to read it a whole lot. I hadn't looked at it in years, but I'm looking at this, and every advertisement was about unlock the hidden power of the priestly prayer or something, or unlock the hidden power, the secret, and it's geared to all these people looking for some more something to put into their equation here, because they still feel like they're trying to work this thing, and they feel just like I did for decades of Christianity, that there must be some truth, some revelation, some grain of something that I'm going to uncover that's finally going to make this thing work for me. The Father says, good son, are you done now? And I laid there and I saw that. I thought, okay, this is going to change the whole ball game here. This is scary to me. But I said, okay. I said, Father, I'm not going to mess with this anymore. I said, and here's what I said. I said, I am just going to be happy. And I said, and if you've got a problem with that, you've got to let me know. Because if you don't, I'm going to do this. I'm just going to be happy. I'm not going to try to fix this anymore. I'm not going to try to improve this. I am going to just be like I am in you. Now, it was scary because I was afraid that I was not going to grow anymore. I was afraid I was going to stop right there. I started growing like a weed. I started falling in love with the one that loved me. I started finally feeling loved. I mean, not just saying it like you do in church. I mean, feeling loved when I woke up and believing it and just enjoying it and like, whoopee. And then when the accuser would come around to my ear, it'd be like, whoopee, I know, right? I'm such a mess and God loves me. You know. And Mr. Devil, you could be perfect from now on and you'll never have this. You know. Verse 11, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is what it was about, organic. It wasn't about you getting right, getting perfect, getting anything other than somebody. He says, let me be the perfection. Let me be that which produces in your life. So I found out I started growing like a weed. Now I start actually knowing God instead of knowing things about God. Now, where I used to dazzle people because I had all these revelations on warfare and the prophetic, and the prophetic this and the prophetic that, and end time this and all that, all these obsessions come from a GMO, a genetically modified version of Christianity. See, what we did over the years, we have added so many things that it seems like it's normal. Jesus said, you want to know what's normal? Look at me. I'm the real thing. I'm the true vine. Are y'all here? 2 Corinthians 11, please. I love what Paul is writing here. In verse 2, he says, I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy because I betrothed you to a husband. Relational. Are y'all here? Are y'all seeing this? Y'all see, this all is so, it's too simple. But that's what he came. He came and did away with all this. I mean, look at all the rules and the laws that the Jewish religions were operating in and all that. And he comes and just puts it all down to this. It's about, I'm the vine. I betrothed you to a husband. Look what Paul did. He said, I didn't come here and give you a bunch of formulas and a bunch of secret this and that and the other than the secret that was hid from the ages, Christ in you, the vine and you together. And what I did was I betrothed you to him. I brought you into a relationship. That's what I did. I brought you to a real living person who loves you and cares for you and knows the best for you and can do the best for you. And I betrothed you to him so I could present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. You are so pure because of the purity that's in him. But I'm afraid lest somehow, watch this, just like the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds would be corrupted. What is corrupted? You know, is some a foreign material brought in. Computer files got corrupted, something else got in, right? That your minds would be corrupted from the simplicity, the abundance, or the generosity that's in Christ. Now look at this. He says, just as the serpent deceived Eve. What did the serpent do? He said, let's add something. Remember, in the image of God made he him, male and female made he them. In his likeness and in his image they were. And then the serpent deceived says, no. See, look at you. See, but you need something else. What you need is this knowledge. Then you shall be like gods. And Eve looked at it because it made sense. It looked good. It looked good. It looked like it would make her wise. That's what she needs, is something else. She needs to be bigger, wiser, smarter. And he says, and that's how the serpent's doing it. It's telling you that you need something else to be what you already are. So your minds get corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ, because if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or if you receive a different spirit that you've not received, or a different gospel, a different good news than what I have given you, than what you accepted, he said, you may well put up with this. He says, you're putting up with this stuff. You're listening to this stuff. And he says, and it bothers me. He says, it scares me, actually. He says, because you've got the real deal here. You finally got the real deal. When everybody else had all this other stuff, you've got the real deal here. He says, and please don't be corrupted. You don't need this other stuff. I betrothed you to him. You were together with him. When we look at Colossians chapter 2. This says it so bold and so strong and so clear. In verse 6, he writes to the Colossian church, and he says, as you have therefore received Christ, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now, how many of you, before you could get saved, had to groan and travail until you broke the heavenlies and had to fast for 40 days or 3 days or 3 hours? How many of you had to get perfect first? How many of you had to find the secret to activating this? And all you did was you believed in that message. You believed in him. Because you believed it, you opened your heart and said, I receive it. And the miracle happened. Remember, Paul said, did this working of miracles, did it happen to you by working, or did it happen because of the hearing of faith? So, as you receive Christ, he says, you keep walking like that. You do everything else that way. In other words, if you didn't do it to get saved, You don't do it for anything else either. Are you feeling unburdened or feeling mad? If you didn't do it to get saved, you don't do it for anything else. What's the key? Philemon verse 6. Your faith becomes effective by acknowledging every good thing that's in you. What's that? The secret that's been hid from the ages, Christ in you. Rick, me, is so dumb at times. It's ridiculous. Is so flawed in his humanity that it's become fun. Because everything becomes Jesus, 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 doesn't it? And it's supposed to be that way. We were supposed to become like almost invisible in this whole thing. Let it be him. Like it was in the beginning. We were naked and not even ashamed. Why? We didn't notice. Because it wasn't about us. None of it was about us. It's all about him who is life. That was the simplicity. Choose life, the tree of life, and I'm it. I'm your life. So you don't have to do anything here. I'm all it. Or choose the knowledge of good and evil where it's all you. And so we came to Christ and we got the life. But human brains thought it would be improved if we added a lot of us to it too. So what I did when I laid on that floor is I came back home. I came to the simplicity. I came to the rest. I came back to the day I got saved. I was loved. I was accepted. I had received power that day. And from that very moment, there was already that. When I go back to the day that I came, there already, almost immediately began to be, I started changing inside. I started changing the way I thought, what I wanted to do, what I didn't want to do. Started changing what I thought about God. It already started from day one. It was the modifications that messed me up. It really was. And I came back to the simplicity, how generous and how all the abundance was all in him and of him. And just as I received him as Savior, and I didn't know much about him. Honestly, the reason I came to him was because I thought I was going to fall into a fire pit when I died, and I just wanted to be right with God, and I knew I needed to be. And I got that daily assurance of salvation, but I got a lot more than what I bargained for because Christ in me started, just begin to open me up to think, oh, I remember saying when I first got saved, I remember not long after that telling somebody, we were sitting around a table talking about the things of God, and I said, the thing that surprised me was the love that I feel. I think if they would have told me that, maybe I would have jumped in much quicker, but I was just afraid of hell. I didn't know there was all this. Nobody even told me what happened. Christ in me produced that in me. He started showing me. The Spirit started showing me. He can do this all by himself, folks. He's doing it all by himself, in spite of us. He says, so continue to walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in that faith, just like you've been taught. That's the way Paul brought it to him. And abound in it with thanksgiving. What do we do? You'll do what'll come natural, because this is all about natural. What do you do? Well, you'll naturally abound in thanksgiving. You'll wake up, oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for life. Thank you for love. Thank you for the goodness. Thank you. Thank you that I'm complete in you. Thank you that no matter what I got to deal with, and sometimes it is hard, I know. But no matter what I got to deal with, I'll be there with you. I've got it because I've got you. I hardly ever know how to deal with anything. But we're living in the vine, and somehow here I am still. So he says in verse 8, beware. Beware lest anybody cheat us through philosophies. empty deceit. According to the tradition of men, the kingdoms of this world. See, all that genetic modifications, they all make sense in the minds of men. See, and that's why all these ideas come. We get too works focused, too end time focused, too political focused. And it's one thing to be political, but if it becomes a central part of your Christianity, that's a genetic modification of Christianity. To be honest with you, if I can say a word about that, we've got an opportunity to be what creation's been groaning for because we've got this love, not a political ideology. Oh, if we can just get a Democrat, if we can just get a Republican, those are all temporal things. Jesus. What will change the world? What will change this horrible world that it's so ugly and stressful and we hate what we see? And what will ever change this world? Another 4 years of the president, 4 years with somebody else. What do we need? What will change this world is the same thing that changed me. Same thing that really changed you. That's what will change this world. According to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of this world, that's all that stuff is. That's why it makes so much sense to a carnal mind. But we're different. We're alive and well. According to the principles of this world and not according to Christ, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Welcome home, church. You're complete. Welcome home, church. I've got good news. You don't need anything. You've got it all in Him. But I want more fruit. Enjoy the growth. Please enjoy the growth. Enjoy the growth. Enjoy the experience. Enjoy. If you feel like you're just a baby, listen, I'll tell you something. Whether you're a baby, a school-age child, or a grown-up son or a daughter, you are loved just the same. Yes, the relationship is different, but you're no less loved. You're no less important. You're no less complete. You're in the vine, and you're growing. Enjoy it. You're going to look back, and you're going to enjoy these times. Enjoy the growth. Enjoy the relationship. Enjoy the fact that even though you're such a mess, you are so loved and God digs you so much. And because of that, you just got it all together. So it doesn't matter what else anybody else thinks or even your own flesh might even think about you. Jesus said, hey, there's one that bears witness of me. They called him demon-possessed. They said he's a sinner. They even called him a Samaritan of all things. Woo. He said, hey, there's one that bears witness of me. The Father loves the Son, so I'm okay. I'll listen to that. Well, if you're the Son of God, do this, do that, do the other. I don't have anything to prove. The Father approves of me. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. And He's the head of all principality and power. Would you all stand up? I love you guys. I see a whole complete, full, beautiful, organically grown, pure field. But Father, I thank you for so great a salvation, and as we acknowledge your goodness, let us enjoy. In fact, to all the people as we're standing here, wherever you're standing, just stand there and be loved and enjoy the fullness that comes from Him and the fact that you can rest in this. And as the branch rests, what's happening? Something is coming from the trunk. Life continues to come. The fact that we've still been able to go on in spite of all the stuff that's been thrown at us and we've even added to ourselves, it's a tribute to how powerful that life really is. I pray that the eyes of our understanding be open, that we can see this glorious inheritance of who He is in us. I pray that none of us ever feel incomplete again, but we rejoice in an abundance of thanksgiving because of everything that Jesus is and does. Father, I thank you for the power of this gospel, this good news. And I thank you that it rests in and upon everyone here. And everyone goes out with a song in their heart and a spring in their step and the glory of God upon their lives. For they've been blessed eternally, and it shall always be. In Jesus' name, amen.